Good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, June 21, 2019, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, sponsored by the Women's Ministry Department of the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Donna, your moderator this morning, and I am moderating from Florida. John 3, verse 22, Jesus has promised us, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. Sister White says in Testimonies of the Church, Volume 1, page 121, I saw that every prayer which is sent up in faith from an honest heart will be heard of God and answered. And the one that sent up the petition will have the blessing when he needs it most, and it will often exceed his expectations. Not a prayer of a true saint is lost if sent up in faith from the honest heart. Our speaker this morning is Sister Pat Sheffield. She speaks of health, and Sister Patricia Sheffield, or Sister Pat, is a servant of the Lord in the capacity of a medical missionary. Her duties in this God-supported Bible health ministry include, but are not limited to, promoting faith in God, teaching the world about the soon-coming Savior, and proclaiming mankind's right to physical, mental, and spiritual healing through health reform. All of Sister Pat's credentials are heaven-approved. While a student of the great physician, Christ Jesus, she has sat at his feet since 1999 in an intense study of health and the gospel according to the word of God and spirit of prophecy. As a faithful ambassador of health, Sister Pat showcases the exalted preeminence of biblical health principles along with using the practical modalities of healing ordained by heaven, profiling the head and not the tail of true medical science. When it comes to women's health, Sister Pat has an extreme passion for the complete, comprehensive care of women from infancy to senior. This is fulfilled in several areas of her ministry, such as medical missionary training, pregnancy, childbirth, and midwifery education and services, health lectures, personal consultations, therapeutic services, publications, and more. This work includes domestic and foreign assignments. Simply put, Christ's commission in Matthew 28 has been and is Sister Pat's mission. Before we begin to pray, I'd like to mention that the reference code for this presentation will be 898. So as we begin, let's all kneel. Those who are able, let's all kneel for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up this morning with life and strength, with the guidance of the holy angels as we slept tonight. Thank you for the provisions for today. And we thank you that it's Friday preparation day and we are going to be welcoming the Sabbath in a few hours. Pray that you please be with us as we prepare not only our homes, but also our hearts. And today, this morning, we also thank you for this privilege of gathering together in this fashion to listen to your word and pray for one another. Thank you for this prayer line, the participants, the callers, the moderators, and the speakers that we have here, this family, Lord, thank you for blessing each one and the prayer requests that we have, that you are answering. Thank you for the promises you have in Scripture and in the spirit of prophecy. We also thank you for the promise of forgiveness and cleansing of our sins and victory to overcome temptations, Lord. We ask that you continue to abide in us and with us. Lord, as we live our daily lives, We ask that you help us to be like Jesus Christ and to overcome sin by his grace and to be covered by his righteousness. This morning, Lord, as we listen to Sister Pat, we ask that you continue to anoint her lips and her mind and also open our hearts and minds so that we may hear truth and we may live truth, Lord, as it is in Jesus, so that we may glorify you in everything we say, think, and do. We ask also to pray to bless our brothers and sisters in the line who may have any health issues or health struggles. I ask that you continue to touch them with your healing hands. For any one of us here who have trials, whether it's a relationship trial or a financial issue or anything, Lord, we know that you are there to provide and help us. Thank you for the trials you give us that help us to be like Jesus, that keeps our eyes on you. And thank you, Father, for blessing the prayer requests that have been mentioned in the line and even those unspoken. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers and for being with us in this time as we listen. We ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sister Pat, the time is now yours.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, Donna. Happy to be alive. How it is an exciting time to be alive today, to be a part of this last work that God has given to his chosen people, and happy preparation day to all that are on the line and those that will be listening. And as always, we cannot call upon our Heavenly Father too much, so I'm going to call upon him because I truly need him. I'm praying, Father in heaven, I love you, I adore you. You're God and there's none other. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart please be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are, one day closer to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue our parenting series, I pray that these messages will not just be words that are falling off of your ear, but that you will go back and you will contemplate on many of the things that have been said, because God loves families. And it is his desire for families to be in heaven. And we know that the enemy hates families, and that's who he normally attacks. Because if he can attack the family, he has the church. He has society. But I thank God that Satan is a defeated foe. We've been told in the Word that no weapon formed against us can prosper. If we stay hidden in Christ, he will fight our battles for us. And we can hold on to God's promises because they are yea and amen this morning. And continuing the parenting series, we're going to speak on the parents' part as educators. Many times, especially when it comes to homeschooling, and I speak to basically mothers, many of them say, well, I'm not qualified to educate my children. And I say, why not? many do not realize that when they enter marriage, and especially when they enter motherhood, motherhood is a career, also fatherhood. So this morning I'm calling all mothers, but also fathers. And I hope I have your attention. And for many of you who've been listening, if you're choosing to be a mother or desiring motherhood, then I pray that you listen to this message carefully. As a mother, it's a career. And when we hear the word career, we usually think of corporate America or a job outside of the home. However, motherhood is a career. And the definition of career is an occupation or profession, especially one requiring special training, followed as one's life work. Also, a career says a person's progress or general course of action through life or through a phase of life, as in some profession or undertaking. There's a wide field of labor open before every mother, and there are many positions to be held. For instance, a mother is a teacher. A mother can be a nurse. A mother is a maid. A mother is a cook. A mother is a chauffeur. A mother is a singer. A mother is a security guard. These are just a few of the titles, positions that mothers hold. Hence, motherhood is definitely, without a doubt, a career holding many positions. But how many women desire this profession? How many acquire the education and special training needed for it, for them to become a mother and to take on this career? Throughout scriptures, motherhood is spoken of as a high and important calling. It comes with its little pleasures called children. Yet, it is also synonymous with servanthood. Everyday women are called upon to selflessly meet the needs of their family. It is what God gave them time for. You know, many say, I don't have time. We're so busy in the worldly activity that many women say, I don't have time to be a mother. But you've taken on that role when you bear a child. Motherhood is a great honor and privilege and has sacred responsibilities. In Adventist Home, page 265, paragraph 3, it says, it is too true that mothers are not standing at their post of duty, faithful to their motherhood. God requires of us nothing that we cannot in his strength perform, nothing that is not for our own good and the good of our children. It is the mother's work to train, to educate, and to discipline. While she seeks to store the mind of her child with useful knowledge, let her be fortified. And may she fortify the young heart with good principles. I can say motherhood is not an easy job, but it's definitely the best job a woman can hold. I don't understand many times as I work with women, they conceive children, and once the children are born, they say, oh, now it's time for me to go back to my job. It has been 6 weeks, and that's all they got, or maybe some took 3 months. But how can you leave your little precious one in the hands of a stranger? If a mother's work is wrought faithfully in the fear of God, it will bring forth fruit unto eternal life. In Health Reformer, July 1, 1889, paragraph 2, it says, to be to a great extent the power to make her children what she desires them to be when they are grown to manhood and womanhood is in the hands of the mother. Her work will not only prove a blessing to herself, but to the neighborhood, to society, and to the world. Her work will be immortalized in the presence of the family of God, and her name will be written in the books of heaven as a missionary of the highest type. Oh, brothers and sisters, women, God has given us a high calling. What a privilege. Mothers, are you looking for job satisfaction? Or are you looking for monetary compensation and great benefits? What I tell you, look no further. It's right in your home. The kingdom of God has positions available for full-time mothers. There's no such thing as a part-time mother. This motherhood package comes with a career, compensation, and benefits that are out of this world. And most of all, it possesses the sweet words mothers would love to hear from their master's voice. From Matthew 25, verses 21, when Christ will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I'm praying for our new mothers because many get overwhelmed when they take on motherhood. But I want to encourage you to call upon the Lord. He says, call upon me, and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that ye know not of. Did you know that children are like trees? When you bring these children into the world, they are like trees. We know trees come from seeds, and when very young, they are subject to being eaten, stepped upon, or bruised. And they need nourishment and an environment where they can grow straight and get plenty of sunlight and water. If there are too many growing together, they cannot get what they need because they have to share so much. This is talking about nature, trees. When we plant trees, well, it is the same when we bear children. When we have too many growing together, they cannot get what they need because they have to share so much. My heart goes out to the women that have stair-step children, one that is four, that is three, that is two, that is one. Somebody is going to lose out because attention is needed by children. I want you, if you would, to try this experiment and see what happens. Take a small tree from the woods and tie it in a knot and watch it grow. As it grows, the knot becomes more and more permanent. Many of us have had a bad childhood, and the knot is still there. As we grew older, we may not remember the knot being tied in our lives. Our bodies were not only affected, but our characters also. This knot can be anything bad or wrong that was done to us as children, and it may have permanently affected our ability to function in society. Excuse me. It can be sometimes impossible for some of us to face life. The sad thing is A child may grow up and have the same dispositions of the one or ones who harmed him. The grievance is transmitted from one generation to another. That's why it is so important to seek the Lord when we desire to be parents, or even before we choose to become parents. Some trees do not do well with other trees around them, such as fruit trees and evergreen trees. Evergreen trees are acid and fruit trees are alkaline. The properties of one offset the properties in another, and so it is with children. We must be careful that this doesn't happen to our children when we introduce them even into society. Remember, evergreen trees are acid and fruit trees are alkaline. Jesus did not come here as a man like Adam. He was born as we are. He came through the natural processes as we came. He is our pattern and example in all things. He grew slowly as we grow, and his understanding increased as our understanding increased. His parents were indeed his guardians. When Herod sent his men to slay all the children that were in Bethlehem and thereabout who were under 2 years old, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt until the death of Herod, thus fulfilling the scriptures in Matthew chapter 3. Joseph and Mary followed the instructions contained in the Word of God as to how they should train Jesus. We should do well today to follow the same instructions. Maybe our children would have more of the characteristics of Jesus. You know, young trees need to be protected and guarded. If a weed eater spinning and spinning were to hit a small tree, it would damage it for life. Or worse yet, it could kill it. There are some people who don't need to be around small children, or maybe any children, or even to have children. Accounts of what some adults have done to children is so horrible to describe. You can easily shake a child to death. They are very tender. Remember, children are like trees. Some people have been known to leave their children in hot cars, been known to mistreat them. What were they thinking about? Maybe they were not thinking at all. In the Bible, there was a warlike nation under the name Amalek who met the Israelites coming out of Egypt and smote the hindmost, the feeble, when Israel was faint and worn. That's Deuteronomy chapter 23 verses. No, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. There were children and elderly people. God has a special vengeance of those who harm the feeble and helpless. He wanted the memory of Amalek to be blotted out. God gave Amalek space to repent, but he did not. See their consequences in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If we trained our children like trees, we would see the blessed results that are found in Proverbs 22:6. You know that. You're so familiar with train up a child in the way it should go. You know, when you plant a tree, it is an apple tree. And that apple tree doesn't go and be an orange tree and then come back to be an apple tree. That's why this verse does not mean when your child is brought up as a holy seed or as a Christian, he or she will leave being a Christian, go into the world to be a heathen, and then come back to be a Christian. That's not what Proverbs 22:6 is saying. It is saying you raise up your child as an apple tree, and that child will remain an apple tree all its life. Sadly, we don't raise up our little apple trees. We don't protect our apple trees. Hence, they go out and become orange trees or pear trees. Like the tree that firmly rooted and grounded, they continue their course until they reach their height and width. Wind and storm may shake them, but they hold on. They in turn produce seed after their kind, and God is glorified. Indeed, the same is saved in childbearing. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, your child will be saved in childbearing means child training. In Isaiah 61:3, it says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And it is our desire to glorify God. As we are talking about parents' part as educators, we know that God is the educator of his people. However, it does not mean that parents can simply hand the entire work of child training over to God and forget about the matter. To do this would be to deprive the children of proper training, for the plan of salvation depends for its success on the co-working of the divine and the human. While man's part in the program of being an educator is small compared to the mighty work the Lord must do, it is so vitally necessary that without it, the work would fail. What then are the particular responsibilities facing parents today? What must they teach children who will become what they will make them so that they measure up to their divine calling? How are parents to fill the role of co-workers with the Most High? How many listeners are wanting to cooperate with the Most High? There is a work the Lord has appointed to mankind, and no matter how incompetently the human agent might do this work or even fails to do it altogether, the Lord will not step in and undertake the work himself. It is for this reason that much of what the Lord purposed to achieve down through time has been left undone. But when he had a mighty man of faith and prayer, such as Elijah, he was able to effect wonderful change in the earth, as it is written in Prophets and Kings, page 156. It was because Elijah was a man of large faith that God could use him in this grave crisis in the history of Israel. Don't we want to be used, but don't we want our children to be used? Sadly, as I travel around, I see so many of our young people just wondering. They have no sense of purpose. They don't know if they're apple tree or orange tree or plum tree. And it goes back to parenting. The principle of the Lord respecting the work and position he has given to the human agent is strongly taught in the way that he operated in the conversion of Saul, who then came to be known as Apostle Paul. Once the Savior had arrested this terrible persecutor on the Damascus Road, he did not instruct him in the message as he was perfectly capable of doing, but sent Paul to the church for this work to be done. Thus, Jesus gave sanction to the authority of his organized church and placed Saul in connection with his appointed agencies on earth. Christ had now a church as his representative on earth, and to it belonged the work of directing the repentant sinner in the way of life. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that the church is supposed to be a school, a training school? But how many of us have gone to church year after year all these years of our lives, and we haven't been trained properly, but we've been entertained? Even in Pathfinders, our children slightly are being trained, but they are being entertained when they have these sleepovers, when they go to the camporees. Now all I see It's the drumming and the marching and the performance. But are our children being trained in these auxiliaries to be in the army of God, to fight the good fight of faith? Many have an idea that they are responsible to Christ alone for their light and experience, independent of his recognized followers on earth. Jesus is a friend of sinners, and his heart is touched with their woe. He has all power, both in heaven and on earth, but he respects the means he has ordained for the enlightenment and salvation of men. He directs sinners to the church, which he has made a channel of light to the world. In the Acts of the Apostles, page 122, it states, when in the midst of his blind error and prejudice, Saul was given a revelation of the Christ whom he was persecuting, he was placed in direct communications with the church, which is the light of the world. In this case, Ananias represents Christ and also represents Christ's ministers upon the earth who were appointed to act in his stead. In Christ's stead, Ananias touches the eyes of Saul that they may receive sight. In Christ's stead, he places his hand upon him, and as he prays in Christ's name, Saul receives the Holy Ghost. All is done in the name and by the authority of Christ. Christ is the fountain. The church is the channel of communication. Again, I just read from the Acts of the Apostles, page 122. That which is true of soul saving outside of the home is of equal force in the same work in the home. Our whole work, parents, is our child's salvation. I just returned back from attending a camp meeting, and truly that camp meeting was a blessing. It was a blessing. I needed to go get refreshed. There were many children there, and my heart was saddened because while some of the meetings were going on, many of the children were out on the playground. Parents, we always lose our children when we go to church or we go to spiritual meetings. But that's not how God ordained it. I think of when Christ spoke to the multitudes, families were sitting together. Never did the parents send their children to go sit in the balcony or go play, but families sat together. Have we lost that principle where families pray together, they stay together? But on Sabbath, many of us, we're talking, catching up with the brethren, and we don't even know what our children are doing on Sabbath. They're outside playing, throwing rocks, doing things that desecrate the area where the church is, and furthermore, are breaking the Sabbath. And what I read is that the angels, they leave. Our child's salvation is the result of the harmonious, coordinated work of the divine and the human. It is required of parents to ensure that they understand exactly what their work is, to do it with great faithfulness and not make the mistake of either trying to do any part of God's responsibilities, or of expecting the Lord to do that which he has appointed the human agent to do. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 248, many never attain to the position that they might occupy because they wait for God to do for them that which he has given them power to do for themselves. All who are fitted for usefulness must be trained by severest mental and moral discipline, and God will assist them by uniting divine power with human effort. Again, that was Patriarchs and Prophets, page 248. The training of life disciplines without which the individual can never attain to his true potential of usefulness must begin before the child is even conceived. Again, prenatal begins even before you get married. For it is only as the parents themselves have achieved victory in the field of overcoming that they can in turn establish a home environment which will institute mental and moral discipline in the little ones. This truth is found in the prenatal period. So I won't repeat, but I will repeat some of the things that I shared in the past because the beginning efforts are so important. When we speak of disciplining a child, the average person thinks in terms of punishing a child for an act of disobedience. But that is not the sense in which the word is used here when I'm talking about disciplining a child. Here we are talking of a training and discipline whereby all the powers of body, mind, and soul are cultivated to a very high degree of usefulness and power. Jesus Christ's life is a demonstration of the height to which a correctly disciplined life can be elevated, not for the glory of the individual himself, but so that he can more effectively serve both God and man. There are at least two ways in which parental training can be achieved. One is more or less military style. I don't know how many here on the line have been in the military. Unfortunately, military in Israel time were all men, but now today the world has incorporated women. And unfortunately, in God's church, women are joining the military. And many from the leaders from on down see nothing wrong with that. When you go to the military of the world, they own you. They have your mind, and they even have your body. And we are only to subject ourselves to Christ. As we talk of the two ways which a training of our children can be achieved, one is more or less military style, the authoritarian method in which the word of the parent is absolute law and strict obedience is enforced, if necessary, by the administration of severe penalties. Usually in this system, the parents require a higher standard from the child than they are prepared to render themselves, a factor which is not well received by the child and tends, as well might be expected, to generate in them a spirit of rebellion. How many of us tell our children, do this, but we ourselves don't do it? And how our children look at us in disdain, and if they could say something, which they won't, so they won't be disrespectful, say, you're nothing but a hypocrite. Some of us have taken on military-style training, but again, as I said, to generate in them a spirit of rebellion. Naturally, the true Christian who understands the structure of God's kingdom from which every instrument of coercion has been banished will reject the military-style method of child training. They know that there is a better way in which the parents are not drivers but leaders. These enlightened individuals will understand that before their children are even conceived, they must establish a well-ordered home while at the same time avoiding strict regimentation. You know, I can tell you, I was brought up in a strict home, and I ended up being a strict parent. And my son actually was afraid of me. People would tell me, your son fears you. And I always say, yeah, he fears me, but in a respectful way. My son was never respectful, but when I said something, it was law. When I said, come here, I did not say it twice. It took him a while to learn it, but he finally got it. When I call you, it means come now. But we call our children too many times, Johnny, come here. They don't answer. Johnny, do you hear me? Didn't you hear me say, come here? They still don't respond. And then we have to raise our voice. Johnny, come here. Now, why do children respond to a louder voice? Children need to be loved. Children, you can be firm, but still steady, sturdy, as far as disciplining the children. You don't have to scream. And one time I was calling my son, and he didn't respond, and I start screaming. And he says, Mother, do you have to scream? I can't even hear you. Now, he was 12 years old when he said this to me. And he struck a note in my heart. And I realized I was screaming. So I apologized to him, and I said, please forgive me. And from this day forward, by God's grace, I will not scream anymore. And I want to tell you, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. The Lord allowed me to keep that promise. When I was about to scream, I prayed. I said, Lord, help me. And I would call my son, and I said, Kevin! And he would come, what did I do? Did I do anything? No, I'm just calling you. And he never knew, after I stopped screaming, if I was upset or if I was happy, because I kept the consistent tone, and I kept the consistency in being calmer and also quieter and nicer and loving. And I thank God for that, because I even saw a change in my son when I changed from screaming loudly at him to having a calmer tone. Children know that there's a better way in which the parents are not drivers, but leaders. These enlightened individuals will understand that before their children are even conceived, we must establish a well-ordered home, while at the same time avoiding strict regimentation. A well-ordered home is one in which everything is done with reference to time and on time, just as it is throughout the entire universe. By this, we do not mean the extreme situation in which every activity during the day is pegged to an inflexible time schedule, which has been carefully typed out, duplicated, and attached to various vantage points around the house. Do this, do this, do this. That is regimentation and makes a person absolute slave to the clock, meaning at 1 o'clock, we're going to do this. God is a time, a God of order. However, we're to have some flexibility. Now, this one is extreme. The other is when everything is done in a haphazard manner. There is no efficient sequence of coordinated operations, and the family members are never quite certain when mealtime will arrive, when to arise in the morning, when it's worship time, when it's time to clean up their rooms or take their baths or to go to bed at night. That's the other extreme. You have one extreme where everything is a strict regimen, and then you have the other extreme where it is haphazardly done, like, oh, just whenever it happens. In between these two extremes lies the desired situation in which regimentation does not intrude, yet at the same time there is order and organization, where work is efficiently done and there is a sense of the family members being in command of their lives. To establish such an order began by appointing a time for those activities in which the entire family joins, such as the family worship, periods in the morning and the evening, and the assemblies at the meal table. Unfortunately, there's no family time for meals. Everybody is on their own schedule and rushing. The children have to hurry out to go to school to catch the bus early. Fathers have to leave. Mothers have to do this. What happened to family dinner time or breakfast time where you sit down? And I praise God. There are a community. There's a community, a religious community called the Mennonite and Amish. And they may not have many of the truths we have, but they follow a lot of the truths in the Word of God, knowingly or unknowingly. They spend time with family before the man goes out to work, and which they are self-supporting. They have their own occupations, their own work that they do. They don't have to go out to any man's job. And the wives, their work is at home. But they sit. I've been there. They sit for breakfast, and you sit and enjoy, and the father prays, and then you eat, and then mother and daughters, they do the work in the house while the father goes out to work. I remember growing up, we had family dinner time. It was not, oh, I got to go. No, it's time to eat. And when you were called to dinner, you were expected to be at the table in a timely way. Time for worship. Sadly, I'm in homes a lot, and there is a lack of or no family worship. And this is in the Adventist homes. It says that we're to have an appointed time for family worship in the morning, especially if you have children. You have your personal worship, parents, and you should encourage your children to have a little personal time before the family comes together so that they will have time to spend and build a relationship with the Lord. But many times it is not done because everybody has a schedule and everyone has to do this and that. But God requires family worship in the morning and in the evening. The times chosen for these convocations must be in reference to other important appointments, such as the father's departure for work. Once these critical elements have been accorded their place in the family schedule, the more flexible items such as meal preparation, house cleaning, and laundry can be apportioned their places. An efficient parent will find himself or herself thinking ahead and so arranging the task that the most will be done in the time available. A very simple illustration of this is in the organization of a meal involving a salad, cooked vegetables, and the preparation of a dish. Mothers, involve your children in the preparation of the meals. I know I was visiting someplace recently, and the children have just left all the toys on the floor, and I said to her, why isn't he picking up his toys? Oh, I just picked them up. And what are we teaching our children? We're teaching them not to be responsible. When you make a mess, you clean it up. Even they can be taught as early as 2 years old, pick up that toy and go put it back in the box. But we handicap our children. Because mothers, we do everything for them. We feel that they will be ruined if they do a little work. Not so. If anything, we're preparing them for society where when they leave their mother's and father's home, they will be responsible and they will be able to do a work for themselves. It is my prayer that we will accept God's training as parents. If we Do this training early in the life of the children. Oh, we can look back and say, praise God. I didn't do everything right, but thank God for His grace and mercy. The little things matter, brothers and sisters, when we're training our children. The success of training our children depends largely on the power of example, for children naturally tend to copy their parents. This is fortunate if the elders provide a good example, but tragic if they do not. Here, for instance, is what all too often happens. The mother has worked hard to supply the meal on time, while the father is working busily on repairs to the car. The little boy is riding his bicycle up and down the driveway, and mother steps onto the back porch and calls the father and child to meal time. The child now looks to the father to see what is the appropriate action to take under these circumstances. The father acknowledges the call, but makes no move to stop his work, which he continues even though it could be laid aside and be picked up later. He is motivated by a perverse determination to show his wife that he does not move at her beckoning. He will come when he is ready, not when she calls. In the meantime, the child has studied the entire situation and has concluded that if that is the way Dad treats his mother, he will do the same. Thus, he is being very effectively trained in disorder and disrespect. Eventually, when he marries, he will treat his wife the same way. His son will copy him, and so the evil will be perpetuated from generation to generation. For the man of the house to employ such moves as this to establish his authority in the home is childish, selfish, and self-defeating. His true responsibility is to work together with his wife and every member of the family to produce a well-ordered home in which no one exercises authority over another, but rather everyone works harmoniously together as a loving team. And as I'm about to close, let there be a reformation in which the sad situation I just depicted is replaced by another such as this. It has become the established order and a home that the evening meal is served quite promptly at 5 p.m. This is not by the imperial decree of the wife or the husband, but by the mutual agreement of both. As the appointed hour approaches, father and son are occupied with their activities as described above, but the husband does not allow himself to become so absorbed that he forgets the time. Instead, he has made a reliable calculation of how long it will take him and the little boy to prepare for their appearance at the table. And when the number of minutes remains, he calls his son once and once only and heads for the washroom to clean up, and his child is right at his heels. Now, if the meal is going to be late because of some unexpected development, then the mother will announce the amended appointment early enough for the pair outside to select a new moment for dropping work and coming indoors. Does that not sound Christ-like? We are to be considerate of one another in the home. Sadly, our upbringing has brought us to a point in our marriages where husbands are mean to wives and wives are angry with the husbands and the children are angry with the mother and the father and they play the parents against each other, and the home is not happy. Happy the home where God is there. God is looking for happy homes, and He has chosen parents to be the educators, and with His help, Faithful is he who has called us. He will help us. We're praying, Father in heaven, once again, you're our Father. There's none like unto you, and you are so gracious and loving. Even when we act spoiled or we rebel, we thank you for not giving us what we deserve, which is death, but with loving care, you woo us. You're abundant in goodness. Forgive us for where we have fallen short. We pray for Christ's righteousness, to put on his righteousness, Lord, that we may love you with an everlasting love, and we will love one another and love our families as you love us. Forgive us for our sins, our trespasses, our iniquity, and help us this day to prepare to enter into your Sabbath day. And until next time, Lord, may you watch us. Keep each one on this line or who will be listening, Lord. You know our hearts. Give us a heart of flesh. Restore in us your spirit. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Pat, for sharing an eye-opening reality that we also see in the home. And the calling of parents, especially mothers, is really important. And like towards the end, you were telling that the father should also help the mom, the mother, in making the home organized.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing. I'll open now the line for questions and comments. If any one of you in the line has any questions or comments, you may feel free to star six your line. If you have any prayer requests, you can also include that. The reference number for this call is going to be 898 if you want to re-listen to it. I have Brother Stanley on the line. Hello.
Good morning. I was very encouraged by the message today. So important, the home and the way the family is structured, and important of the roles of the mothers and fathers to work in harmony, to have a harmonious home. And I loved what you shared at the end of the pad concerning the interaction between the fathers and mothers, and what you said is so true. There is a falling away from, you know, the time of the evening where it should be a set time for the meal in the evening. And I'm glad that you said 5 o'clock. That is a very, very good time. It would be good if each home would put that into practice, because that's a very good time, because that gives enough time for digestion of the food before a person lays down to rest. That's very good. I'm also, one question I was going to ask. You did share in the beginning when you were talking about, you spoke about, you shared something on Adventist Home on it, 265.3, and you were talking about the education and the discipline, the fortifying of the young mind. Then you shared two scriptures. One was in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And then you shared another scripture there along with that scripture. Could you give me that one again if you have that nearby?
I think I shared the first. Timothy was about the childbearing,
right.
You know, where it says,
yes.
So, man.
That was about childbearing,
Matthew 3?
Yeah.
Was it Matthew? I know I shared Matthew 3 when Joseph, the Herod.
Okay. Matthew 3?
Matthew 25, 21. I know I'm
I
shared
think that
Matthew
was that.
25, 21.
Matthew 25, 21. Okay, Matthew 25, mm-hmm. verse 21, yeah.
And 1 Timothy 2:15, yes, yes.
Yes, okay, Matthew 25, 21. Okay, I didn't write that one down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as you were sharing about a well-ordered home, that's so important, and I like what you were talking concerning about appointing times for the meal and time for the, and also another very important factor that you brought up is so important is the daily family devotionals in the morning and evening. It's so important, and that is so sad to say that that's missing today in a lot of the Adventist homes, not in the world, but in Adventist homes, because that's so important for the children. You think about children growing up in an Adventist home, to have those set times, and because you're training up a child so that they can also pattern that as they become adults in their Adventist home. And so what is being taught in the home and the education of the children, the young minds, for them to be adults later in society is so important, that the mother, again, fulfilling her godly role and her godly example, being that she is to her life example to the daughter is so important, that she has the right, you know, setting the right example. And I love the part where you were speaking concerning your relationship with your son, and how when you shouted, how that had an effect on the mind of a child. I mean, it does. When we raise our voices, that does have an effect on a child, but but it also allowed you to gain a experience in temperance, you know. Allowed you to reexamine yourself, and that's good. It's good to look at things through the eyes, the lens of God, how God would have us to see ourselves, and so important, those lessons of faith. And I love the part where you're talking about the organized home. It's so important. That is so important to be organized throughout the day. Mother being organized and how her day is going to progress. And I think it's so important also for mothers in having daughters to, you know, to have them, to teach them things, you know, like how to cook, how to clean, how to wash clothes and do other things in the home, and even boys also. It's a good mm-hmm. it's a good training field for both the sons and for daughters, because it's so important, because they're going to become adults. They're going to have their own homes, and if they either mm-hmm. choose to marry or not to marry, but that discipline that you teach them is for life. So it's so important. It's so important that they are taught the right examples. And the part you spoke about of the father being at the end, you were speaking about the time where they got together for that evening meal, and uh-huh. and that was, you know, so sad to hear that. You know, sometimes the father does not respond when the mother is, she says, okay, it's time for us to have the family evening meal. But too many times now in life today, the preoccupation with fulfilling what is on the father's mind to continue doing what he's doing, but the example that he's setting for a son is not a good example. So people really need, you know, that's so important, that semblance of humbleness and importance, you know, that he's the father, understanding that, okay, the mother is doing her important part of preparing the meal, and have it on, if it prepared at time, that he's so blessed to have a caring, loving wife to go to that extent to make sure the meal is prepared, and she has it well prepared, and now she's waiting for the father and the children to come in, that they may fellowship together, because the meal is a time of fellowship. So important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of today, that's missing. You don't have too much of that the morning and evening where all the family is gathered together to partake of the same meal. But it also it's a bonding time also for the family. So it's so important, those points that you brought out today. I'm thankful for the message that the Lord gave you.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Stanley, for sharing. Anyone else in the line has any questions or comments, you may feel free to star six your line. Anyone else in the line has any questions or comments? I have a caller from Florida, Sister Ioni. Hello.
Good morning, brethren, and thank you, Sister, for your talk this morning. As you were talking, I remember the statement that I read from the Spirit of Prophecy, where the servant of the Lord said, when the parents, as it were the mother, train the child up to learn to cook and to keep good health, as it were, that is the greatest job in the world, more than all the jobs that can ever be given to humankind, as it were. That is one of the greatest jobs. When a mother trains their child how to cook and to able to keep good health and to take care of the body. And she mentioned there, some people think that in taking care of the home and taking care of the family is the least job, but is one of the most important jobs, as if we know that the home is what society is like and sending out the children them in the world, as it were. So thank you for your talk this morning.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Ioni. Anyone else in the line has any questions, comments? Anyone else? Mr. Pat.
Yes.
I have a quick question. So you were talking about your relationship with your son, and I kind of missed that part, like when you spoke louder. Can you clarify that part? He was fearful, and then he became...
More... I was because I like if I would call him and he wouldn't come, I would scream and say, "Don't you hear me?" And he was a quiet young boy, but I would scream at it like, "Did you hear me? You know, just going on and on, and he's just standing there. So whenever I told him to do something, he would jump to it, but if he didn't do it like I wanted to, then I would scream. Like, I would go into his room, and I don't mind sharing. I would go into his room, and I showed him several times how to fold up his clothes and put them in the drawer. But after he got his clothes, he would just throw them in the drawer. So I would go into his room, open the drawer, and just start taking all the clothes out and throwing them on the floor and say, and I know that was extreme, "It is not done right, and until you get it right, we're going to keep going through this." Wherein, that wasn't Christ. I should have been more loving, and I was screaming at him, but I stopped screaming. And when I would call him or ask him, did he do something like, "Kevin, have you done this?" Mm-hmm. "Yes, ma'am." You know, so I just noticed when I changed, he changed. He was a quiet young man anyway, but I kind of put fear in them. People told me, oh, in church, after his Sabbath school, I would tell him, "Don't let me come looking for you. You find me in church and you come and sit by me." Wherein the other parents would say, "Why don't you let him sit with the other children up in the balcony?" And I would look at them and I would say, "Thank you, but this is my child." And, you know, and their child up there giving the deacons, you know, problems. But I wanted my child to sit with me because we sat with our parents, you know, at church.
Yes. Wow. It's nice to recall also, while you were telling that story, I also remember my growing up years with my parents. And I remember that when I'll be more receptive to what my parents are telling me when they are more calmer.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there are times that because they got upset because you didn't do a task right away, then you do it. But it's not a nice job because you did it in a rush. But when they ask, or, you know, that's why now that I don't have children yet, but I have my nephew, and sometimes when I visit, we ask, he's like 4 years old, and I see his mom, his full-time mom, and she's teaching him, you know, the right things and what to be polite, to be courteous. And then the then you have another child. I think not every child is the same. I kept hearing that. So whoever, like the other child seems to be more receptive, even though he's like 1 year old. He's more attentive, but the other child is more active. So I think it's a character building for both the parents too, that when God gives you the children to train, you learn also patience. You learn about the love of God deeper, most of the parents are telling me. Because no matter what bad your child does, you still would love them, and you always want the best for them.
Amen.
Because, and it's very, it's saddening to see in our society that we don't have, not every family have regular family worship, whether you're Adventist or not. And remember, I don't know if you got this story before, but there was a literature evangelist who told us this story years ago, that in the 19, I don't know if you heard this story also, in the 1950s, 1960s, I think that's when the television has become, was it the time when television became available in the homes, 1950s, 1960s?
I know I was born in the 50s, so when I was 60, I know in the 60s the television was there.
Yeah, there was a story by a literature evangelist who told us a story from a literature evangelist. In the 1950s, that was when the TV has not been prominent in the homes, and there was this pastor, literature evangelist, I think here in America, he lost his child, and he was an evangelist, or, you know, doing missionary work, and his children died in an accident or something like that. It was sudden death, so he misses his children. And, you know, the we know that when people die, they rest in the grave. So when you see, and the deception of Satan is they come to you in spirits, and they can talk to you, you can talk to the dead and all that. One day he was invited to attend a, after he preached in a seminar, there was a good-looking guy. He said, "Oh, I'm blessed by hearing your sermon. Why not attend my crusade too, you know, my speaking?" So he went to that speaking engagement, and then he saw, while the other guy was preaching, he said it was a handsome guy. His two children who had passed away were like in the stage and all that. Like, he was amazed. But then one of the children approached him. But then he prayed, and, you know, and then that went away, because he knew that there was a deception. And I guess one of the warning he was told after, like, and I'm not sure if this was a vision, but it was a story, that it was a warning also, that that person said, "I would infiltrate or get the homes of family by the television." And that was before the television was
I think I've heard something to that effect,
Yeah, so that made me think, and that was the time I just moved here in the United States. We have TV, but we don't have cable. But growing up in the Philippines, there were, you know, every home, even the homes of the poor, have TV.
Oh, yeah, I know. Even here in Tennessee.
Yeah, that takes a lot of time. And now I understand why my mom doesn't like TV, because it takes away our productivity. And instead of family worship, you get entertained. And that's I think that's why the devil wants to take our time, so that our time to establish relationship with Jesus would be lessened. And that's, I think, we need to pray and for each of our family and have personal and family and church revival also.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing again, Sister Pat. Do you have time for prayer requests?
I do.
So they have prayer requests here. Of course, let's pray for our camp meeting in August in Washington, the preparation, and let's also pray for the missionaries. I have a couple of friends who are in mission trips or have been to mission trips this summer. A lot of students going to mission trips. Let's pray for, I have a friend who just texted me. Her grandma is sick. She is in, I think, in California. So let's pray for her grandma. My friend's name is Michelle. So Michelle's grandma. I don't know her grandma's name.
Mm-hmm.
And unspoken prayer request. And I have a caller in the line. Hello, Brother Stanley.
Yes. Could you keep Brother Scott Turner and Sister Bonnie in special prayer for Sister Bonnie's oldest brother? The oldest brother had passed, so they have a death in the family. Also, one of our elders, Elder August Jover, his mother just passed, so we want to keep the Brother August Jover and the Jover family in special prayer at the loss of their mother, Brother August's mother. And also this special prayer for Pastor Arian Chapman for his health.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else in the line who has any prayer requests? Let's pray for our individual prayer list. I know we have some who cannot mention all their prayer requests here, or, you know, maybe your prayer request is too private to even share. So let's pray. Let's pray for each family. I have a personal unspoken request, Sister Pat. And
okay.
Just continue to pray. Mm-hmm. Listening to the parenting seminar here in the prayer line makes me really think that, wow, parenthood or motherhood is really an important task. You really need to have to plan and also do what's required. I mean, because you're not just rearing children for your own pleasure. You are rearing children that have been asked by God for you to rear.
Amen.
Or to prepare for heaven.
Amen.
All right, I have Sister Pat from Florida. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
This phone has given me a lot of trouble, so I couldn't come on. When I come on, it's cutting off. Please pray for miracles for this phone, that I will get a company or somebody to help me so I can get on the prayer line and get my numbers. It's very crucial. And also for Sheldon, my son in Trinidad, for God to open doors for him to get custody of his three children, because the mother just took, he had them by some relatives, and she went to the police, and she's not sending the children to school. They're growing up anyhow, and she just don't want to work and want the money. So pray that some miracles work for Sheldon in Trinidad, that he will get those children. He got the custody so he can have the children and send them to school and church, because she's not doing that. You know, he came back in the church, rebaptized, and he's living a Christian life. He didn't want that kind of life anymore, you know. So, and now I heard he gone back drinking and smoking. So pray for him. He said, with all the worries he have, and I say, this is no time for you to. But the people, the relatives who have them, is doing a great job sending them to school, and they are growing up nicely. So it will be sad for the mother to get them. And in the island, you know, she have family who are police, so they're doing an undercover thing, you know, for her to get back the children. And he's on a ship working. He had to fly in to see how things could straighten for him. But he wouldn't hear, so he will have to feel. And also for my brother Dowlin in Boston, it was for him to forget his cats and take care of his health, because he can die and leave those. He will die and leave those cats. So pray, do pray for Dowlin that God will intervene in his life and he will get in some rehab. And again, he has to leave where he's living by my mother because she have other plans and she cannot take these cats any longer. And also for Sister Shorter, that God will open doors for the ministry, those packages to go out. And welcome Sister Pat back. Long time. God bless you and your ministry. I didn't hear it, but I'll go. I hope the phone could allow me to listen it later on. And for the Lord to continue to open doors for me so that I can get back on the mission field and I can get where I have to go so I'll be free to do his work. And also for the family, Sister Miss Jackson, this lady, to train her children, 13 and 14, like she's scared of them. They can't even wash dishes. And it's so sad. The lady's sick. She's working 40 years in a hospital. She needs to stop. She's tired. I tell her what to use. I'm trying to work with her, but she said the Americans don't, do things like other countries. She have a big sore from diabetic, and she's also have she has lymphedema. So pray that she will adhere to the therapy I'm trying to encourage her to do and to help her. She said the Lord sent me wrong, and yet she would not obey. And for these children that she adopted, a twin, identical twin, that she will train these children. And she's sick. She cannot even cook. So they've been deprived of a meal when they could go home. Just junk, junk, junk. So pray that the situation change because boys like to eat and they should be eating good food to nourish them, 13, 14. Well, mother's in jail, father is doing something else. So these children need help, but she's not able and she's not realizing it. And her children just stayed away from helping her because she's just spoiling these children. It's no time to spoil these boys. They're controlling her and she's sick. So pray for the situation here and for Lady in Trinidad, what's her name again? And for Gertrude, this is the main one. Please pray for Gertrude, this lady from California. She's in Oregon, but the demon is after her. She had her car by an Adventist lady, two vehicles, and the Adventist lady now charging her $5,000 for keeping them. So pray that some miracle will work, that she can get her vehicle. She don't have $5,000. She's still looking for a place, and she's going through so much. Oh, my eyes. Pray for her. Pray. I can't remember the lady's name who have her cars, her vehicle. She offered to keep them. Now she's charging her, calling police and all sorts of things, and she don't have the means to be up and down from to Oregon to wherever, the little state somewhere nearby where the cars are located. She went for them, and the woman would not give up. It's such a sad situation. And pray for me for direction and courage and for my car. Amen. And all the whole list. The list is still going on. And Renee Smith, she is in Tampa. She's in rehab. Pray that God will heal her so she can do a mighty work for him in Tampa and for her to get help with the children because there's too much stress for her. Just had surgery, hard surgery. And for her mother to overlook her behavior and help her. Overlook how she's acting with the mother, her mother. And all the others, there's so much. The prayer line anyhow, we need to pray more than ever. And pray without ceasing. So thank you so much. And God bless you all. Prayer line. And
praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Pat, for praying. Sharing your prayer request and also being concerned with praying for others, the power of intercessory prayers.
Yes, yes, yes. The Bible says we have to bear each other's burden and so fulfill the law, and we are our brother's keeper. So yes. We can't say we love our neighbor, and if we love our neighbors ourselves, we have to do, not just me, 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 and I, you know?
Yes.
And for Connie, Connie mouth, her mother's mouth have cancer. She has a cancer. Pray for Connie, God to direct her how to treat it. And to have patience with her parents. They are not of the faith, and sometimes Connie just lose her temper, and that's no good. She's very stressed. Amen. She's in Wisconsin now.
Thank you, Sister Pat. I'll be also, let's pray for our pastor, not only Pastor Rossetti, and our pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, each pastor that God calls and is using. Let's pray for them. All right, if nothing else, we can proceed now to our prayer. Sister Pat Sheffield,
okay.
Right there?
Yes,
okay,
I'm thanks. Ready. Yes, I'm here. Okay. We're praying for those who can approach the throne of God by kneeling. We do need much prayer for our church, for one another, for our families, because the way things look, brothers and sisters, it does not look well. I pray that I'm going to start praying, but my heart goes out to us, and I'm including myself. We carry a name, but we don't live the name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And we need much prayer. So I'm praying. Please keep me in prayer, but we're praying. Our most kind, loving, gracious, tender Heavenly Father, you're God, and there is none other like unto you. We thank you for never sleeping nor slumbering, but being awake and knowing everything that goes on with your children. Thank you for the tests, the trials, the obstacles, the afflictions that you allow to come our way. But as I have read, you will never leave us nor forsake us. You're there at all times. And you are desirous that your children who are called by your name would truly represent you here on earth as your family in heaven. Glorify you. Lord, we need more of your glory. We need more of your grace. You have made it available, the kingdom of grace, Lord. But we deny you as we have denied Christ. This day, you know all the petitions, Lord, but we lift each one up by name. Michelle, we pray, Lord, for our grandmother, I believe, and that you will do what you do best. You are personal God. You're not a respecter of person. And that you would speak to the hearts of those that are sick. Lord, I have a young lady that's coming to me. I ministered to her a few months ago, 23, with lymphoma. And before she left, I encouraged her to follow your way. But, Lord, she just called me, and she's crying out. She's getting worse. And, Lord, you have a way of getting our attention. And be with me as I prepare to serve her again. But as I've told her, she must be faithful. She must cooperate with you, that you may give her a new body, a new mind, and that God, not only will she be healed physically, but her spiritual life will grow closer and closer to you. We thank you for the opportunity to be parents, Lord, and many of us didn't ask you, but there are those with children where there is havoc in the home, being taken away, and the schism between the father and the mother, Lord. You know what is best for those children, and they are your heritage. We're just asking that you will intervene according to your will. Everything is according to your will, because all things work together for good to them that love you and those that are called according to your purpose. Lord, we have been guilty of not being good parents, that when our children grow up, they are products of our bad training. That's what it is, Lord, and we're asking for forgiveness in that area, and that you would work with those with addiction, Lord, because we all have addiction. If it's not drugs, tobacco, or coffee, food, sex, whatever it is, Lord, we've all been bound, and this bondage is sin. It's become a slave master to us all. We ask that you would be with the camp meeting, Lord, prepare hearts, prepare those who are organizing it, and may it be to your honor, glory, Lord. May it not just be another meeting that we come to fellowship or socialize with, but Lord, it will be a heart-searching meeting where we can find Jesus. We ask that you would come into our hearts. Be with those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Each day is precious. Every moment we don't know if we will be alive. So, Lord, we must make our calling election sure each day. Be with Bunny and Scott as they have lost their older brother, Albert, 10 days ago, Lord. And we just ask that you be with his wife, Katie. Lord, you know. We ask, Lord, that if we have anything between anyone, that we will ask for forgiveness with you and make things right with one another. We also pray for those that are sick, that are in the faith, that, Lord, you're the great physician. There is nothing too hard for you. You never lost a case. And you promised you wouldn't put any of the diseases upon us that the Egyptian had. It was a condition, Lord, but evidently, if not Job's situation, we have gone outside of your law, your health laws, and we ask for forgiveness. And, Lord, that we will be restored back. Our health be given back to us. Be with this prayer line, those that are listening and those that will hear the playback, Lord. There are many in the valley of decision. They don't know which way to go, but the only way to go is to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Help us not to choose another master. Help us to sit at the feet of Jesus each and every day, to learn of him as he is pleading his shed blood on our behalf as our high priest. And Lord, come into our hearts. Come in today. We love sin too much, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Be as Isaiah, woe is me, Lord. I am undone. Send your angels to put the coal on our tongues, Lord, that we may be cleansed, that we may be able to go and finish this work so that you can come and take us home. We want to spend eternity with you, Lord. Mm-hmm. But we have a work here to do to hasten your coming. So please help us. We pray because we cannot help ourselves. These things we ask in the worthy name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for praying for us, Sister Pat, and also for the message this morning. May the Lord bless you.
Have a blessed day. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day, Sister Pat. Will you be in the camp meeting in this August? Oh, I think she went. Anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in. I'll be reading the announcements real quick. If you want to re-listen to this presentation, the reference number is 898. It's available anytime. Just dial 712-451-1068, enter the access code 373047, pound, and then the reference code is 898. Our memory verse today is in 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Southern California Connection Prayer Line Mini Camp Meeting is on August 16 to 18, 2019. It will be on the country setting. The venue will be at Chihuahua Estate Church in Chihuahua, Washington. The theme is, Are You Ready? Spirit, Soul, and Body, from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Camp meeting flyers will be emailed, and please free to print and share. To those who are interested to come and need a place to stay, please email socconprayerlinealert@gmail.com to get some more information. Through the years, we always move in faith, and the Lord has never failed us. We are appealing for volunteers. For your prayer and financial help, for updates, please check our website, cfwplm.org, and to donate, please write a check to Central Filipino Estate Church and write on the memo, Prayer Line Camp Meeting. Your donations are tax-deductible. Thank you for partnering with us in sharing God's message to the world. For questions, email us at socconprayerlinealert@gmail.com. Tonight's speaker is going to be Brother Ude Calveri. All the presentations are available at our website, cfwplm.org, and there is an edited replay that is broadcasted at fwmradio.com 4 times daily. There are 60 countries who can join this call for free. You may feel free to share our website, cfwplm.org, for your friends and family on those countries to get a free local telephone number, and it can be seen in the homepage of the website. For suggestions, comments, testimonies, and prayer requests, email us at socconprayerlinealert@gmail.com. Please stay faithful and keep watching, praying, and working with us. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a blessed Friday Preparation Day, everyone.